This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 Sunday mornings. Check us out on the radio.com app. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
We want to give a shout out to somebody, don't we? Because they are celebrating a birthday today. No, it's not Rod Laver. It's not Ken Norton, former heavyweight champ. It's not Doug Williams, NFL all-time great, and HBCU all-time great.
Yep.
It ain't even Dion. All them folks celebrate a birthday with our own beloved D. Orlando Ledbetter today.
D-Led. Happy birthday, D-Led.
Shout out, D-Led. Hey. I left a name on that list, too. Speaking of football, Jim Kick is celebrating a birthday today. Now, I don't know if Jahi knows about Jim Kick and the famous threesome that he's a part of. Are you familiar, Jahi? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I'm not familiar.
Okay, I'm going to bring you in on something else here. But this is a perfect lead into what we're going to do before we talk NFL, Sam. Jim Kick, if I'm not mistaken, was part of the last threesome NFL backfield where each guy had 1,000 yards in the same season. He was part of the early 70s Miami Dolphins, went to the Super Bowl, the undefeated team. Him, Mercury Morris, and Larry Zonka. All had 1,000 yards. Picture that.
Yeah.
That's how Don Shula did it back then before he got a guy with a golden arm named Marino. He just shoved it right down your you-know-what. And Jim Kick was a part of it. But anyway, D-Led, as we get ready to talk football, we're thinking about you. Happy birthday, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? We think about him, we think about Falcons, and training camp started this week. And it's virtual camp, Greg.
Yeah.
It's virtual camp, which means you ain't going out there. A limited number of people who actually get to go out there. The fans are not out there on that grassy hill. Usually that's filled with fans and who love to go out there and watch a training camp. That's not happening this year. If you're working it, like we're working it, you have your resources where you certain players or coaches are provided each day. You have a source, and this year Fox 5 is going to be the TV partner. So they have a photographer that shoots video, and that's your video source. I think there's a still photographer. If you're writing printed stories, there is a still photographer that takes the pictures. And I think on different days, I think maybe 8 media members or reporters get to have access to the camp. I believe those are the rules for this year. And the Falcons are probably no exception. This is something that's probably happening across the whole league. They're trying to get things done, the testing. They don't want anybody coming out that's coming from the outside. They want it to limit as much as that as possible. Not that they don't want you to see what the team is doing, but because of what they're trying to do to insulate things around the team and team personnel. And so in an effort to do that, there's limited access to media or other people who would normally be at camp. Still, we get information. We're still hearing from players. We're getting to see what it looks like having them on the field. And really this week, Greg, the players up at Flowery Branch were kind of working out and supervising themselves.
Yeah, no coaches. That was it. And this is what it's going to be for a little bit. And that's,
yeah,
you know,
they're kind of supervising themselves. And you hear Matt Ryan say, well, we got enough veterans on this team. They ought to be able to keep guys in line. And somebody's got a question, you know, they got people they can go to answer their questions, especially for the rookies and new players who are coming in, new additions to the team, getting adjusted to the way things are done here with the Falcons. And they're doing their best to move forward, just like we talked about college and high school. Doing their best to move forward with this team and get ready to play. No exhibition games, but they're going to do some things, obviously, to simulate those situations. But still, you know, you want to see what happens when we actually get down to the point where a game is played. But right now it's early in that process.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, talking NFL. We're going to come back in just a little bit. Jihee, I want you to answer that question. But as we go around the NFL, some of the top stories this past week that stuck with me, and I don't know if they're same with you, Sam, was the continuation of where, after his 8-game suspension, is Antonio Brown going to land. And this past week, I actually heard something that sounded a little bit more interesting. Wasn't so much good news for me, because my team's also in that division, my other team. But given what's been coming out of Green Bay and just the prickly relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the media, because they're poking the stick into the cage there about, hey, well, you got these guys, you know, your team drafted a quarterback and he's what's next possibly. And, you know, a lot of things that were said about Tom Brady, but Brady got the rings, is that he never really did it with the exception of Randy Moss, never did it with top talent around him. Now, you can argue that he was the one who made Gronk who he was, or Julian Edelman, but whatever, there weren't big names beside Randy Moss. Well, the same thing could be said about Aaron Rodgers. He got one ring, but the complaint is he's not been surrounded by a lot of people. And, of course, now they're looking for the future Aaron Rodgers, if you will, kind of what he went through when Brett Favre was there. But, man, that's an interesting conversation. You got two people who are top talents at their position, both of them with chips on their shoulder. If he were to land in Green Bay, if, you know, depending on whenever the season gets going, 8 games in, that could be kind of dangerous. That's something that you got to pay a little bit more attention to.
Go Pack.
You're right about that. Listen.
He knows that. He knows to sneak that in with you know, this Bears fan over here. I didn't know that about Jahee when we hired him.
Yeah, I know. You know, like when did that happen?
See, this is what Bears fans do. We reach across the aisle. See, because that's what we do.
Still love you, Greg, man.
It was always good. George Halas was the one who always extended his hand to Vince Lombardi. Lombardi was the one who slapped it back, but Halas was the one who extended it. But anyway, the other story from this past week that stuck with me was the regular conversations. I think I heard three different statements and interviews with Cam Newton about how comfortable he feels. Listen, what's the phrase that applies to all sports? You don't want to be the dude following the dude, or the man following the man. And how could he possibly have success coming in there, or whoever, after Brady? But he's saying all the right things. I don't know if you heard the comments this past week, but I just found them kind of, you know, interesting.
Well, he's come in, he's been welcomed by his teammates. They seem very happy to have him there. If he's healthy, potentially what it could mean for their team. And these are some thoughts. This is what Cam had to say this week.
Listen, there's a lot of things that I'll just say that there's a perception. But at the end of the day, you know, it's football. I've loved it ever since I've been here. You know, I've been here going on a week now. You know, you hear rumors about certain things, but, you know, once you finally get settled in on things like that, you know, none of that really matters. It's just all about, you know, finding a way to prove your worth on a team.
Listen, it's a wait and see for me up there, because I got no problem with Cam. What I got a problem with is how is he going to be accepted by those knucklehead Patriots fans?
Well, he's on their team now.
Yeah, but he's following the man. Boston sports fans have a reputation. We'll leave it at that. And Cam Newton likes to do everything opposite of the way they like their athletes to perform up there. And so there's going to be, you know, either he's going to dial back who he is, or they're just going to have to swallow what normally comes out of their mouth. So that's my stance. I'm going to watch and see what happens up there. But I think we need to go back for a second, Sam, and revisit what I said and us talking about what's going on with Antonio Brown and possibly with the Packers, because I think I hit a nerve with Jahi. What's up, man?
No, you didn't hit any nerve. I love it. I love the idea that that's been tossing around, like that they're thinking about getting Antonio Brown. That's cool with me. Low risk, high reward. Don't give him much because he doesn't command much. And if he does well, it's cool. Pairing with Devontae Adams is a beautiful thing. Have a good backfield. Love it.
I was thinking about this. You know, I can't think of – well, there's one other guy who's got a chip on their shoulder. A talent of that level and moving to a new situation, wanting to prove. And that's Phillip Rivers with the Colts. I think that's a guy who's this year is hopefully stays healthy. He's got a chip on his shoulder like Antonio Brown and like Aaron Rodgers. I can't think of anybody else, but it's those kinds of situations that make – listen, I think Minnesota still at this point, because I don't trust what's going on in Chicago with Trubisky and Nick Foles and Detroit, God bless them. You know, luckily they got Matthew Stafford off that COVID list, and the people up there will leave him and his family alone because that's been crazy what he's been going through. But – Minnesota and Green Bay, I think, are the cream of that division right now. And Minnesota's they've come close. It's almost like New Orleans, you know, where they got right up there and a taste of getting to that last game and had it yanked away. And the same thing with Minnesota. I don't know that they can make it, but it just seems interesting for me going into this upcoming season. That's what, you know, one of the things other than what's going on down here with the Falcons, that's where I'm going to be focusing on.
Watching for that for sure. And, you know, like you said, with the Falcons, but also with this division. And that's the thing you're watching to see how things play out. Keep hearing more and more about the Panthers and how they retool their defense up in Carolina. They're going to be young, going to be aggressive. And also on the offensive side, how this is going to go with Christian McCaffrey, man. Just turn him loose and let him do all the things that he can do for that team, and just make him be that weapon on offense. That guy that can do the things running the ball, and but also coming out of the backfield and getting the catches, kind of like we see Alvin Kamara doing down in New Orleans. And what we really hope to see Todd Gurley do here for our Falcons to provide that change of pace and be that other weapon, that Matt Ryan needs. I mean, he's talked about this week having a new addition at running back, new addition at tight end, and how he feels like those, Hayden is going to be great in that capacity. He likes his athleticism, his speed, his change of direction, things that he brings as a tight end for this team.
Yeah.
And well, that's that. You know, we'll see. We're looking at those two positions, and Matt Ryan seems to be really excited about it.
All right, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up, we're going to talk baseball next with Joe Patrick. Also, we have a full-blown casting call, and we're going to hear from a casting director giving us the state of productions, other than Tyler Perry, going on in the city. But if you're just joining us, one of the things that we are getting the perspective of young folks versus the stance that Sam and I have towards certain sports and how things should look and so on and so forth. And so we go to J.E., our producer, who... I gave him a little task because I had saw something during the PGA Championship coverage yesterday that got me thinking. I wonder what young folks think or what's their iconic moment with various sports. They had Brooks Koepka and a number of the other guys talking about the iconic moment for their generation was Tiger at the 2000 PGA Championship, where he sunk that putt on a Sunday on a redshirt Sunday and walked it right into the hole and then pointed at it. And for them, that was their moment. So it got me thinking, what is their moment for the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball? Well, since we're talking football right now, Jahi, come in here, and what would you say is that iconic moment for young folks, as opposed to what you normally hear from those of, you know, Sam and I's age?
Okay, so y'all might agree with me, y'all might not. So that undefeated season of the regular season and going into the playoffs of the
Patriots.
But how it ended.
Beat by the Giants.
But how it ended. Them being beat by the Giants with the helmet catch.
Ah, David Terrell.
Tyree. Yeah, that helmet catch. Yeah.
The better part was it was Rodney Harrison who was guarding him.
Right, exactly. So that helmet catch that kind of sealed that game right there, that ended that perfect season, that right there probably that stuck out to me the most. Currently,
would you say that that's across the board? When you talk to your friends, are you in the barbershop? Is that the one you guys usually agree with as far as the NFL, or you think there's a couple others? Like there could be a 1 and 1A.
There could be a couple others. But I think that's a big one. That's the big one though.
Okay, 404-741-0929. If you got another one or at 92.9 The Game, shoot us your thoughts on what would be the NFL iconic moment for young folks. I don't want to even call you millennials anymore because I don't like labeling people. So we'll just say young folks. All right, I just don't. I feel bad every time it comes out my mouth because I don't want folks labeling me, and I know you don't. So I hate giving them that name. So we'll just say younger folks. But okay, the David Tyree catch. Good enough. We're going to get your NBA and your baseball one up. But a guy we love having fun with, but we got to talk baseball and what's going to happen next. That's Joe Patrick. He is joining us. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Oh, no.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
That song's a little inside to me and Sam in our week. What you know about Groove Holmes? Don't sit here and talk to me about some jazz. Please.
Hey.
I was working on my paradiddles all week. Listen, if you're just joining us throughout the show, we've been talking about the differences in opinions between Sam and I and some younger folks, and we've been using Jaihe as a sounding board for iconic moments in sports that we chose, but we found out, you know, some of the younger folks, well, they don't share that opinion. You know, we found out during the unfortunate time when we were paying tribute to Kobe Bryant that the younger NBA fans did not grab on to and gravitate toward a lot of the Jordan highlights. It was Kobe. It was Iverson. It was some of the younger guys. And so we asked Jaihe after something that was said at the PGA championship from some of the younger golfers that it was Tiger's 2000 walk behind point into the hole iconic putt that they remember, as opposed to some other things. And so we asked Jaihe, so we've been asking about football when he brought one up. But as we welcome in Joe Patrick, Joe, take a second to think about it, if you have one off the top of your head. What is your baseball iconic moment? And is it different from, say, like older members of your family?
Yeah, you know, it probably is. It's funny, whenever I talk to my parents, they kind of grew up in the Mideast, and their iconic moment in baseball was not a moment of them, of one of their teams winning a game or something like that. What their moment was Ozzie Smith running out to shortstop and doing his little spinning, jumping flips out there. That's like their baseball memory that they always have and love. Mine for baseball has to be that 95 World Series. I mean, that was, for me, in my life, my family had just moved to Georgia, and so we hadn't even been living here for too long, and just to see that was the first time in my life, and one of the only times in my life, that one of my teams that I followed had brushed with greatness in winning a championship. So I think for me, it would have to be that 95 World Series, although, you know, just... Also, as a Braves fan, it's tough because everything is kind of tinged with that that late 90s great but not great enough kind of thing where you're always in contention, but you always feel like you're on the outside looking in on an actual championship. That's kind of in the background there as well.
Yeah. Listen, I had one, but it was washed away a couple of years ago. But mine was – actually, this is the anniversary of it happening. Today is the anniversary of the first night game at Wrigley Field.
Huh.
1988. Yeah. So that was mine, man. That was like, because source of, I've said this before, Joe, you haven't heard this. The source of all my behind beatings as a kid was me cutting school going to Cubs games because they were all day games. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was eclipsed 4 years ago when the boys brought it across the finish line in 2016 and won the World Series. Listen, Joe, you brought up the name, Ozzie Smith, which makes us think about the Cardinals. And, of course, as we start talking about baseball this past week, what do you think about? How do you explain to anybody what is going on, A, with this baseball season, but what they're going to do with this Cardinals team and in these games that they've missed?
It is really fascinating because they've missed so many games. I mean, I think, how many games have they played?
Like Five games.
It's crazy. It's crazy, and you just don't know when they're going to be able to make up those games. And that assumes that, like, they would be able to play every game from here on in, you know, that there would just be totally smooth sailing and that they wouldn't, like, even if they, you know, it's going to be tough for them because maybe they could do everything right, but they could still have postponements due to other teams, you know, there'd be something cropping up. I think baseball is in a little bit of a pickle here when it comes to these types of logistical problems. And I think that they're going to have to end up going with determining these playoff spots and stuff by a winning percentage and not necessarily not necessarily being able to play every game that was on the schedule. And of course that's going to create some legitimate competitive balance conversations among fans. But, you know, that's just the way this season's going to be. I know that Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, has also kind of talked about the fact that there's just no way around it. There's going to be competitive balance issues this year because there's just not a way to make everything as fair and equal and balanced as they normally would be in a regular season where you can easily have all the teams, you know, play each other in a very fair way. So I think they're going to have to go down to winning percentage because, again, I think it would be like a 1 in a million shot for the Cardinals to play the rest of their season out, making up all the games and not running into another series of postponements, whether it's due to something, an issue happening on their club or some other club.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Joe Patrick. Keeps an eye on all things Braves and Atlanta United. But let's talk about the Braves this week and what a roller coaster week it's been for the team. Today we're going to get to see them do something we haven't seen them do all season long. They're going to play two games. But talk about the loss of Mike Soroka. Some people are wondering now if the Braves are targets for possible trades. But then we have a Tuki Toussaint go out and give a performance saying, hey, maybe I can help fill in that void. And then, of course, the return of Nick Markakis. There's really a mixed bag, but a great homestand for the team. Thoughts about going forward? You think they're going to be able to make do with who they already have on staff?
Yeah, you're right, Sam. It's been a crazy week for the Braves. A lot going on. So with Mike Soroka, it's obviously a devastating loss for the team. There's no way to really spin it any other way. Other than the fact that he already had his surgery done, I believe that was completed yesterday morning, and everything seems to be A-okay there, and so he will begin his rehab. But obviously we all know that Achilles is just a very tricky injury to come back from, and rehab can be very finicky, and you just hope that he doesn't catch any snags. But that's going to keep him out into next season, you know, most likely, just judging by the way that guys normally come back from this. I have heard that it's a slight silver lining to this is the fact that the Achilles that was torn was not on the foot that he would land on in his delivery, but instead the one he would drive off of, which doesn't require as much balance issues and that kind of thing. So I guess that's a good thing when it comes to his recovery, but they're still going to, I think, need to find somebody. And Alex Anthopoulos, we talked to him the next day on a conference call, and he said that the team was out there trying to make deals. In fact, he said the team was out there looking for starting pitching help before the Soroka injury, which just goes to show you how much, you know, one, that the Braves wanted to actually improve this team, and two, how much that they knew they already needed that position of need before you lose your ace. So obviously they know that they need somebody there, but it's just really tough in the conditions of this season right now because every team needs starting pitching, and every team needs starting pitching because just about every team is in this thing, you know? Like, I think the Marlins would have killed last year to have been tied for the first with 60 games left of the season, you know? It's like a sprint to the finish. Anybody's still in it, and it just makes it that much harder to try to work out a trade. And then also, you've got minor league guys who, you know, you might not want to trade them because would you really want to trade away or trade for a minor league player who's not even participating in a minor league season right now, so you can't actually see them playing and things like that. You know, there's just so many logistics that are kind of causing a gridlock across Major League Baseball when it comes to trying to maneuver and manipulate your roster. But I think that they will continue to push. And, you know, the trade deadline's coming up on us. It's August 9th, and the trade deadline is August 31st. So, you know, it's coming up here, and I think the Braves will make a move. They've already shown a willingness to try to improve the squad. When Nick Markakis opted out, they went and tried to sign Yasiel Puig, which was a big move that I don't think anybody was really expecting. So I would expect them to continue to push. They're going to go with Waskar Yanoa today in the doubleheader, and he's a guy that was brought up. He can throw high 90s, and he has started in the past in his minor league career. I would not expect him to give you a typical starting performance today. I think that today his start will almost be like a bullpen by committee type of game for the Braves. So I could see him going two or three innings, hopefully, and the Braves go from there. But anyway, all this to say, the Braves are really need pitching, and I think that they will continue to try to push to improve the roster, because I don't think they're giving up on this season, you know, just because Soroka's out. I think they're going to continue to push and try to capitalize on all these great players they've got on the roster right now.
It's Joe Patrick. He's joining Sam and Greg here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com this early because, frankly, he's got a tea time coming up within the hour. So we want to make sure we get him in here.
That's very important. That's very important.
Not only that, to get his game over with, to get back to watch the PGA Championship. So that's a full day.
I feel so ritzy, like, you know, asking you guys to schedule me early so I can get on my tea time. I appreciate you guys having me on early.
One time somebody will come and ask you for a favor for our dinner. This is why we do this for you right now.
Hey, man, listen. And by the way, you brought up the Marlins. Shout out to Carl Dukes. He was also on one of those calls I gave you a few weeks ago, the morning when this all started. And he sent me hey, Greg, I think you're right. So shout out to Carl Dukes, Dukes and Bell Afternoons of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what would you like to see, if anything, done more from this commissioner or said more from this commissioner?
That's a great question. I think that the thing that people want to see is just like accountability. You know, I think that there's a lot of the dialogue that gets thrown out there is it feels adversarial, and it all goes back to, you know, the labor negotiations, honestly, where it just felt very it felt very like antagonistic. Just like the words that would come from Manfred, and you wish that you would hear not so much like blame being laid on a team or a player or a party or whatever it is, and just feel like there's more cooperation happening between Major League Baseball and its clubs and the players that comprise those clubs. Because at the end of the day, everybody has to be kind of going in the same direction, and it's not a good look for anybody to have, not that there's like name calling going on, but you just feel like the people in Major League Baseball, the head office, are kind of a different mind than a lot of people that are, you know, on the ground at these clubs. And so I just wish there was just like more synchronicity between those two sides. I think it would just make for a much more amenable atmosphere, and I think it would honestly make for better conditions for allowing this game to be played, to be perfectly honest. But you know, I think it's very hard what they're trying to do here. And I do, like, commiserate a lot with the commissioner. I know he gets a lot of stick from a lot of people, and I've certainly been one of them. But we shouldn't underscore how difficult of a project this is to pull off, how unique it is. You know, we're just seeing these leagues try to do something that none of them have been trained to do. None of them really have experience in actually pulling off. So I think we do need to, like, cut them a little bit of slack that this is just such a very difficult undertaking that they're going on. But it is not great to just kind of see some of the things that Rob Manfred says in the public, and that's what kind of irritates me the most.
Joe, we got about 20 seconds to go. We won't let you get off the hook without talking about Atlanta United. We're seeing the games they're due to play since coming out of the bubble. Smart move or not, considering what you see in baseball happening, they're playing in the bowl. It's worked for them. They're going to come out. How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's the only way you can do it. Because just like as a player, I bet the players would want to be playing in home markets, traveling on charters, and not be doing this bubble thing. You can only the bubble can only last so long from a labor rights point of view. You know, you can only keep people away from their families in these situations for so long. So I think that this was really the only move that MLS had, and you hope that they can learn lessons from Major League Baseball and be able to pull this thing off without a hitch.
All right, man. Well, listen, go out there and hit them straight and enjoy your day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
we'll
man.
Be checking in with you. That's Joe Patrick joining us here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I like having Joe on. And getting just like you know, every week I try to come with him.
You got that tea time. You got that tea time.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I absolutely can understand him. coming up next, we usually like to talk a little bit about some other sports that are going on, and we will. But something special we want to fit into this next segment. We're going to introduce you to January Curry. You've heard her company mentioned, which is Destination Casting, on my casting call. But she's going to come on and tell us the state of the movie industry and how you guys can get some jobs, because that's what Sam and I do. We let you know about jobs. Well, she has got some needs because a few productions are in pre-production. She's doing the hiring, but she needs to let you know about what you need to do to get on set. That's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Check us out on the radio.com app. And that sounded like, I mentioned some D-Lid and some Doug Williams and Dion birthdays earlier, but Jahi, apparently I missed one.
Yeah, you did. I'm here to tell you missed one.
Okay, well, y'all didn't jump in. I didn't hear that. Why y'all sitting back here, Jay?
Well, we had to wait. We had to wait because they had to set it up because she had to have her own platform.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go
because
ahead,
you know, there's only one. It's the greatest voice of all time, Whitney Houston.
Ooh, yeah. See Sam? See what I'm saying?
I said
is that
it.
Young folks
said it. I said it.
Yeah. doing a Stephen A.
You know what? You know
what? Right.
It's hard for me to argue with him because I think more than any artist, she's the artist that I saw in person more than anybody else, you know, and I've seen a lot of folks, but I, for some reason, yeah, I always ended up going to see her concerts, incredible talent, incredible voice. People used to knock on her because she wasn't the best dancer, but you went to a Whitney Houston concert, you didn't go to see her dance. You went to see her use that incredible gift. And so, I'll never forget, my first time was a little place called the Moonshadow Saloon, which is now a place where they keep the buses for Emory University right over off of Briarcliff.
I remember that place.
Yeah, it's right there. That used to be Moonshadow.
Yeah.
And it's a small little room, very intimate setting, and she was there and was just gorgeous. and sang with her band and her brother who played basketball at DePaul. Sang backup for her. And so, yeah, so it was cool seeing that.
Okay, we got to let Jahi tell the story because we got some stuff to get to.
Yeah, so with her, like I said, I'm from Jersey. She's from Jersey. We're actually from the same town. So I actually went to Whitney Houston Academy. It was called Franklin back then, Whitney Houston Performing Arts. I used to see her house that she grew up in across the street all the time. And then her older brother, graduated from high school with my mom. And my father's mistress is her first cousin. So my father's mistress was her first cousin, and my son's that's actually her.
I love Jahi. I love him. That was beautiful. Go ahead, finish the story.
And my little brother is that's her mom. That's his second cousin. So Whitney Houston. Congrats.
Yeah. God bless you, man. See, because that's the kind of stuff I do that Sam would never do. And you came in through, you slipped it in. That was real nice.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, I love
you
that.
You like the way he did that.
Absolutely. You go ahead and take an extra 20 out of petty cash for yourself today. Lunch is on me, man.
I told you I had something.
Before we get to a special casting call, Mr. Crenshaw, we got some other sports going on.
Well, just some things are happening today. F1 is going to get started in just a little while. It's the Formula One Grand Prix, British Grand Prix, this week. And we'll see if Lewis Hamilton continues in his winning ways. That kicks off here in a few, about top of the hour. NASCAR's at Michigan. They're running two cup races back-to-back days. They ran yesterday. And Kevin Harvick comes out with the win. Dramatic finish the last few laps, right, you know, between he and Denny Hamlin was there. Kyle Busch got bumped, and you say he's the new black hat guy, and of course, you know, that happens, and I'm sure some people were pretty happy about that. He hadn't won a race yet, and he's your defending champion, mm-hmm. So watch for that. Bubba Wallace had a strong finish, was up it to number four in the closing laps, finished ninth, a top 10 finish for him, and afterwards alluded to the fact that he's got some big news coming up. So that may be something we see later on today when they run. We know that the PGA Championship is going on. Dustin Johnson is top the leaderboard. We'll be watching for that. Tiger's far back. Like you said, it'll be going off early today if you watch it. But could see Dustin Johnson claim another major title. And, of course, tennis is moving along, getting set to head for New York in a few weeks for the U.S. Open. Serena Williams back in action this week in Lexington, Kentucky. They just brought this tournament together in the last couple of weeks, Greg. They just pulled this thing together. She's going to be there. Venus is going to be there. Sloane Stephens is playing there. Victoria Azarenka and Coco Gauff. Oh, remember her? The teenager that just took the tour by storm last year. I mean, she turned 17. She can play more tournaments. Unfortunately, there haven't been any tournaments for her to play. So we're gonna get our look at her coming up this week up in Lexington, Kentucky, as they get set for New York in the U.S. Open.
All right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Jahee, do we have our lady ready? Okay, let me introduce, let you know what's going to happen here next. You guys know about the casting call. I've been doing it for years, and one of the names that you regularly hear on the casting call is Destination Casting. They do a number of projects, and of the casting directors, the extras casting directors that I normally have on there, she's one of the few that's up and running in pre-production. She's doing two projects here. One is kind of a reality thing here. It's one of those where they want to know your story. In fact, I'll read it here. If you are feuding with or being betrayed by a friend, family, or business partner, there's a new network series. They're looking for real people with real friendships and relationships at stake. So you'll see that up on the casting call list, which, by the way, is up on our website, 92.9thegame.com. You click on the menu, you go down to blogs, you'll see Casting Call with Greg Clarkson, and the list is there. But before that, you're going to see Saints and Sinners, which is a project being done by Destination Casting. It's in its fifth season. There is a number of needs. We'll let January talk about that, but there's also information that you need to know before you are going to get on set. So first of all, the good news is, folks, there's jobs out there again. And I want to welcome January Curry, one of my closest friends, and bring her on and let her talk about her project. But more importantly, the COVID-19 protocols are in place. January, a picture just fell down. January, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, listen, let's talk about, first of all, your projects. You're doing Saints and Sinners. What are your needs for this upcoming week?
Well, this week, Greg, we're actually looking for, which is kind of strange, but we're looking for prisoners and officers. So even if you don't have, you know, military police background, but you kind of look like you do, definitely looking for those because we'll need them throughout the season, not to give it away, we definitely need those. And upcoming, we'll also need some gala patrons. So if you have some upscale attire in your closet because we haven't been able to go anywhere, you can go out on set. How about that? So we need some people that have some gowns and some black tie attire as well. So we'll need some of those.
Yeah, they're going to have to go get those washed because they've been sitting in the closet for a while. They really have been. The breakdown of this week of what you need are all up on the website. There's restaurant servers, there's patrons, all ethnicities, men and women, 18 years and over for most of them. Some of them have specific age ranges they want you to check out. But let's talk about this, January, because you were supposed to be on a couple weeks ago, and you were doing another project. I'm not going to mention it. And as we were getting ready to have you on the day before, you went, you called me and told me it got pulled, it got yanked, and we know why. Yeah. We don't have to go down that road. So this one is in pre-production, Saints and Sinners, in its fifth season, but there are COVID protocols in place. Talk about those for a second.
Yep, with all projects, Greg, definitely you want to make sure, get tested, guys. you know, even if you don't necessarily want to, in order to work on these sets, you have to be tested. Some of them, luckily, Saints and Sinners is one of them, that they're testing you on set. So before you work, you have to be tested. You will have to wear a mask. You will have to social distance while you're there. There's been a lot of changes with the set protocol and the things that we literally can't confirm you unless you have a negative COVID-19 test 72 hours prior to working.
So this is one of those deals. And listen, for the last couple days, everybody has been hearing about how Tyler Perry got it done. We know he's the exception to the rule. He can bring everybody and house them just like they got inducted into the military. The other projects aren't going to be as lucky. Some of them may end up using his facility, but we'll talk about that when it happens. For now, this will be housed in a studio. You may do some location shooting, but most of the productions that are coming back, when I do my casting call, I'm going to be asking people to submit for jobs, much like yours, where they have to go through getting tested. Soon as you say that they have, you know, we're going to use you as a restaurant patron, let's say, you're going to contact them and say, have you been tested, correct? They've got to do a 72-hour window as far as producing a negative test before you can even bring them on set to get fitted for like their costumes and things like that?
Correct. And the plus thing is the production is testing them themselves. So we're not only checking your availability to work, but we're also checking your availability to come and test on set. Absolutely free, of course. However, you have to come, you have to test. And I have instances where, you know, we've tested a bunch of people to work and some have come back positive. So we have to immediately cancel you. You know, making sure that once you're tested, that you're quarantining yourself so that you don't miss out on any work.
January, this is Sam, and I just want to ask you one thing. You said you're looking for people to play the role of prisoners. We always, and Greg always tells people when they're submitting themselves for something, they send a picture. How do folks dress if they want to try to get that role? Is there a certain thing they ought to wear, orange jumpsuits, or how do people dress for that?
For roles, for background roles, we want you to look as neutral as possible. We want you to look like yourself. So you want to have just a plain background as much as you can. No other people, no hats, no sunglasses. But we want you to just look like yourself. So just something really basic, nothing too busy, you know, on a simple wall in your bedroom and just have someone take the picture with good lighting. You don't have to try to dress in a character at all. We just want to see how you really look.
And Sam, there's going to be sizes, there's going to be height ranges. So people, if you look like a big dude, you look like a big dude. So, things like that. And not everybody has outfits like that. Take a second and give me your thoughts on what Tyler Perry did and the discussion amongst the other casting directors that you know of about his situation.
I think it's awesome. And if he has the ability to do it, I think it's a great thing. Unfortunately, all productions can't do it. You know, you have people coming from all over to come together to shoot. So in some shoots don't happen, you know, with that much time to prepare. So it may be, hey, we have 2 weeks to prep. You know, he has the time and the ability to do it, which is awesome for people. But for those of us, you know, productions that can't, you know, you just want everyone to make sure they're protecting themselves and getting tested to come and work.
Again, this is January Curry. She's the head of Destination Casting, joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I just wanted to give you guys an overview of what's starting to happen as the industry begins to open up slowly but surely, and there's no guarantee, just be honest with everybody, January, that Saints and Sinners is going to go off when planned. So this is all pre-production. You know, I talked to my boy Patrick at Extras Casting, who does, you know, Walking Dead and things like that. Heather over at Casting, TaylorMade, she does Stranger Things. Everybody's, you know, kind of approaching this like walking on eggshells, but you've been given the green light. You're pretty secure and moving forward, and you guys look like you've done your due diligence to be ready to go once the green light has been given by whoever the directors, producers, or the studio. But you feeling good about what's about to happen here next with the industry?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, it's really different. And what we are telling all of our talent is we're going through this together. So it's different, feeling confident in it, but it's a new normal for us. It's really different.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. We're going to check with you again. Again, January's got two projects here on the Casting Call. A new reality show, but a new network series where they're looking for those of you who got some problems with your family, friends, and business associates. They want to hear your story. And, of course, Season 5 of Saints and Sinners. You're going to find all this information up on our website at 929thegame.com. You click on blogs, or excuse me, the menu at the top. Go down to blogs. You'll see Greg Casting with Greg Clarkson and the entire list. And let's not forget those behind the scene jobs. So you'll have those. I've also got you hooked up with Bill Seller for those of you who want to dip your toe into the voiceover world. January, thank you for getting up and coming on with us, and we'll be checking back with you. I'll obviously continue getting the information for the productions because jobs are back.
Yes.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Jobs are back in the industry, and more importantly, you stay safe, all right?
Thank you. You guys too. Thank you so much.
All right, again, that's January. Thank you. Yeah, Destination Casting. I want to get her on here to talk about, like I said, these protocols are in place, but folks have been wondering and shooting me information. Hey, Greg, when are we back up and running? So there you go. You can find all that stuff up on the website. Getting into the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Chris Marler, Saturday Down South, talking college football. Up next, we're going to get back to some NBA conversation and find out what Jahi's iconic NBA moment is or what he thinks young folks is. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.